This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Say he's Allah, the only one.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashraf al-anbiya'i wa sayyid al-mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Indeed, it is an honor and it is a privilege for me to be here once again, to be in front of my esteemed guests and my beloved brothers and sisters here. I assume most of you are from Nairobi, maybe you have traveled from other cities, but all of you are from Kenya, I guess. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward us all and all of those who have participated in making this conference a possibility. Now, I've been requested to talk about an important topic. And as with all the topics of this particular conference, which will be over the next 3 days, each topic was chosen specifically because of the importance that it is, or it has for every single one of us. The topic is knowledge, al-ilmu, and it being the key to success. Now, if I was just to ask, just very quickly, who wants to become a scholar? A scholar in Islam. Who would like to become a scholar? Raise your hand. If you would like to become an alim, a scholar in Islam. Now, a scholar is not something strictly, don't put your hands down, keep them up, bismillah. I'm not finished. This is not something strictly for men only, because there were many scholarettes in Islam, women. So from the sisters, who would like to be a scholar in Islam? Raise your hand. Okay, the brothers got a bit tired. Most of you, mashallah, tabarakallah, you would like, thank you sisters, thank you brothers, barakallahu feekum, you would like to become a scholar. I should have raised my hand as well, actually, because I would like to become a scholar as well. The reality, and it is a reality, does everybody become a scholar? Does everybody become a scholar? No, they don't. That's the reality. In fact, the majority of us, the vast majority of us, wallahu alam, we won't become great scholars. Now we know the status of the scholars. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses certain individuals to be scholars. Indeed, our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants good for a person, يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ, He will give that person an understanding of the religion. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. It is only truly the scholars, the people of knowledge, that they will fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, truly. So if it is the case, the vast majority of us, we will not become these great scholars. So what will we become? What will become of me as a Muslim? It's a very important question. Because to become a scholar, it means I need to acquire lots of knowledge. I need to go, I need to study, I need to sit with people, I need to spend a lot of my years striving and struggling to acquire this knowledge. So, with my lectures and when I give advice to people, I try the best that I can, not only just to give a general advice. General advice is very important for us. But general advice, but included with that is an advice which is something which is realistic and something pertinent and important to me that I can implement, then it becomes that much more beneficial to me. So if I give a lecture upon the importance of seeking knowledge, I'm sure that you have heard lectures about the importance of seeking knowledge. I'm sure you have heard many stories, you heard many lectures about the status of the people of knowledge, which are general things which are very important for us to learn and to study. However, the reality is that when I go home this evening, or when I go back to university, I go back to college, I go back to work, I go back to my family, how is that knowledge of benefit to me in my daily life? And this is the point that I want to make. This is what I want to join together. That there is knowledge, and that there are thousands of types of knowledge. But for that knowledge to be of benefit to me, what do I need to do so that when I face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that knowledge that I acquired now becomes beneficial? So it is not just a seeker of knowledge. It is just not merely the fact that I want to become an alim, that I want to become a scholar. But it is more than that. Because if you ask yourselves, all of you that raised your hand, why do I want to become a scholar? Is it for just acquiring knowledge's sake? Because if that is the case, then you will find that a computer, a laptop, is the biggest alim in the world. Because you can put a CD, you can put a program on that particular computer or laptop, which has every hadith that we know on that. Every ayah, all the tafaseer, it is all there at the tap of a button. So the greatest alim is a computer, if it is that we are restricting a scholar being someone who just acquires knowledge and can memorize knowledge. But the true alim, the true scholar, or the one who desires and wants to be the scholar, doesn't want just to acquire knowledge just because they can say, I know, and I can give you the answer. But knowledge becomes beneficial to every single one of us. It becomes ilmun nafi', beneficial knowledge, when that knowledge becomes part of me, that now it now becomes part of my actions. And you must join the two. Knowledge on its own, without any actions, won't benefit you. Actions without any knowledge won't benefit you. In fact, in an authentic hadith, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us that from the first people to be thrown into the hellfire, one of them is who? A scholar, an alim. That person that we all want to be. So wait a minute. Do I still want to be a scholar? Yes, I do. But I don't want to be that type of scholar. What is that type of scholar? That is the scholar who learnt, who memorized, who acquired, but he did not act upon what he knew. And he acquired that knowledge so that people would say about him, he is a scholar, or she is a scholar. So the responsibility of knowing, the responsibility of acquiring knowledge, is a great responsibility. That knowledge, yes, is the key to success. But how is it the key to success? Only if it becomes beneficial to you. Only if you start acting upon that knowledge that you have acquired, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed you to learn. So that path that you take is a path which is very heavy, has a great responsibility. Because the more you know, the more responsibility and the more you will be asked about. If you don't know, you don't know. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا إِن نَسِينَا أَوْ أَخْطَعَنَا. Oh my Lord, don't take me to account if I forget, or if I made a mistake due to my ignorance, for example. But the more you know, the more you will be responsible for that knowledge that you have acquired. Let me give you a couple of examples about, it is not about how much you know, but it is how much you know and how much you act upon that, so that it becomes a benefit and a help to you in this life and the hereafter. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting in the masjid, and the story, I guess, is well known to us all. He was sitting in the masjid with his Sahaba radiallahu anhum. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the next man to enter the masjid will be from the people of Jannah. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, not a people existed with any prophet or any messenger to the level of love that they had for a messenger like the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Their endeavor, their love, and their desire to seek good and to do good was like nobody else. So when they heard the next person to enter the masjid is going to be put from the people of Jannah, every single one was waiting to see who walked in. When that person walked in with his shoes underneath his arm, prayed to rak'ah and sat down, who is he? We don't see him sitting in the circles of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam every day. He's not from the ulama or the great knowledgeable sahaba, but he's from the people of Jannah. The second day, the same thing happened. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the next person to enter the masjid, he will be from the people of Jannah. The same man. On the third day, the next person to enter the masjid will be from the people of Jannah. The same man. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu, he said, I have to know what this person is doing. So he followed him. He followed him and he made an excuse to stay with him. He stayed with him for 3 days. He didn't see him praying every night. He didn't see him fasting every day. What is this person doing that I'm not? I didn't receive this guarantee. He got it. At the end, he said the 3 days were up. He said, I have to leave. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us a man's going to enter the masjid and he's from the people of Jannah. So I followed you and I want to know what you do. He replied, whatever you see, this is what I do. I don't know what it is. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As began walking away. He said, except there's one thing. He said, that one thing, what is it? He said, that when I sleep every night, this is a beneficial knowledge that he took. This was ilm al-nafi' that he implemented every day. That before I go to sleep every night, I make sure that my qalb, my heart is pure, it is clean. I have no hasad, no jealousy, no hatred, no enmity towards any Muslim. Simple? Is that easy? Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, وَمَنْ يَطِيقُ ذَلَكَ. Who can do that? Who can go to bed every night and ensure that their qalb, their heart is pure, clean? I have not an atom's weight of hatred, jealousy, enmity, anything towards my brother or sister every day. This sahabi radiallahu anhu was given this promise because a piece of knowledge that he had, and he implemented it every day. This is when the knowledge became beneficial to him. In another incident, a Bedouin man, he came into the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aina Muhammad? Aina Muhammad? The Bedouin people, they were a bit coarse, they were a bit harsh. They spoke like this. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu were taken aback, because they didn't address Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by his name like this. They would call him Nabi Allah, Rasul Allah. They would give him his title that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to him. alayhi salatu wasalam. He came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, this Bedouin man, and he said, "What has Allah obligated upon me regarding the salawat, the prayers? I need to know." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, 5 daily prayers. That is what is obligatory upon you. Except if you want to do some voluntary, some nawafil. Then he asked, "What has Allah obliged upon me regarding zakah, my money?" The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "This is what is due upon you. Except if you want to give some sadaqah, something extra." And he said, "Thirdly, what has Allah obligated upon me regarding fasting?" He said, "The month of Ramadan, except if you want to do something extra." The man, he stood, he said, "Walladhi akramak, by Allah, the one who honored you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will not do any tatawu'at, I will not do anything extra, but I will not do anything less than what you have just told me." This knowledge that it came to him to establish the pillars of Islam. And he made a qasam, he swore by Allah, "I will not do anything extra than you have told me, but at the same time, I will not fall short of any of those obligations." And he walked away. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said concerning this individual, "Aflaha wa abi in sadaq." He will be successful if he is true to his statement. The knowledge that came to him, and then he acted upon that knowledge. This is when that knowledge came to him and it was of benefit to him. So how many lectures, how many conferences, how many lessons that we attend, that we may even write notes for, when does that become part of my daily actions? Because, for example, in the supplication that we make, "Oh Allah, make the Qur'an a hujjatun lana, la alayna. Make the Qur'an as a proof for me, as an evidence that will support me on the day of judgment, not a proof against me." And then you may ask, you may question, because I believe in the Qur'an, from Al-Fatiha to An-Nas, I believe it, I read it, I accept it. How can it be a proof against me? And how can it be a proof for me? It is a proof for you that every piece of knowledge, every ayah, every verse that you read and that you learn something, that you implement it, that it becomes part of your life. Now the Qur'an has become an evidence for you, that it will help you. But it will become an evidence against you, that you learnt this hukum, that you learnt this ruling, that you took the advice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, however you turned away from it, and that you didn't listen to it. That when you face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that knowledge came to you, and then you turned away from it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about a people who know, who have knowledge of matters. They're telling people to do this, to do that, to do this, stay away from this, stay away from that. But they themselves, that they don't do it. They don't do those actions. These are from the most hated people in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These people who know, but they don't act upon that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He gave to them. Every day that you read, "Ihdina as-sirata al-mustaqim," "Oh Allah, guide me to the straight path." "Sirata al-ladhina an'amta alayhim," "The path which you have bestowed your blessings upon." "Ghayri al-maghdubi alayhim," "Not the path of those who have earned your anger." Who are they? Those whom the knowledge has come to them. but they didn't act upon it. They turned away from it. Waladdalin, all those people who have no knowledge at all and they act upon that ignorance. Every day you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to make you from those people. But you want to be from those people who when they acquire the knowledge, that they act upon it immediately. That they do it straight away without any delay. Do you know, when the ayat of hijab, when they were revealed in Surah An-Nur, and the verses also in Surah Al-Ahzab, when the verses came down commanding the believing women to cover themselves, do you know what they did? They fled and they ran to their homes. And they pulled down the curtains from their doors. And they covered themselves. When the knowledge came to them, immediately, imtithalan li amri Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they wanted to fulfill the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately. When the ayat came down prohibiting khamar, prohibiting alcohol, what did the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, what did they do? Their vessels immediately, they turned them upside down. Until in some narration said, many rivers of alcohol were through the streets of Medina. Because they poured the alcohol away. Because now it has become haram. It is not permissible for us anymore. This is how the greatest of generations, radiallahu anhum, may Allah be pleased with them all, how they took this knowledge. And that knowledge was a key to success to them. How? Because they acted upon it. That it became part of their lives. When the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came, there was no asking, where did you get that ayah? Or where did you get that hadith? Or has it been abrogated? Has it been cancelled? Or who did you hear that from? Although at certain times, in our time, كُلُّ مَنْ حَبَّ وَدَبْ, whoever has the desire to and walks, that they can speak how and with what would they like. At times, of course, it is important for us to ask. But we are talking about the time with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when there was no need to ask. So if you know that the knowledge has come to you and it is authentic, it is sahih, that you are from the first people to implement that ayah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So on a practical level now, on a real level now, because I've spoken about, just to quickly recap, that knowledge is successful, or it is an aid for us, and will help us when? Question mark. When? That when I acquire that knowledge, I will immediately act upon that. And it will become a proof and evidence against you, that when the knowledge comes to you, that you don't act upon it. What I have said to you right now, if you have understood what I have said to you now, you will have no excuse. I have to say to you that you will have no excuse, that every single one of you, you are told when knowledge comes to you that you are to act upon it. You can't say, when knowledge came to me, I didn't know that I had to act upon it. I just thought it was nice information, that it made me feel good for a little while. You know, that little iman boost, and then you go back home and you go back to the life that you were in before. I didn't know. Now you know. If you didn't know before, you know now that when authentic knowledge comes to you, that you are to act upon it. So al-ilmu, this knowledge now is what? Is it the end? Is it the end game? Is it the achievement or not? I'm going to ask a question now. And I hope you're still with me. Physically and mentally, you're still with me. I know it's quite early. Raise your hand, and there's no absentees. You can't abstain from this, by the way. There's no votes. You have to vote in a halal way. Raise your hand if you think knowledge is the goal. Raise your hand if you think knowledge is the goal. It is the end game. That's what I need to achieve, is the knowledge. Okay. My next question now. Raise your hand if you think knowledge is a means. Raise your hand if you think knowledge is a means for you to reach the end, which is what? I'll explain the what in a minute. But raise your hand if you think now knowledge is a means for you. It is a wasila. Okay. I think they are more than the first. Raise your hand if you didn't raise your hand. Come on, please. Raise your hand if you didn't raise your hand. Muslims don't lie. Muslims are honest. If I didn't raise my hand, raise your hand. It's okay. Our respect and love for you will increase. Raise your hand if you didn't put your hand up. I didn't. I'll be the first. Humbleness and shyness is from Iman. MashaAllah. As I understand, and Allah knows best, that knowledge is a means. Knowledge is a means for you to achieve the end result. Because knowledge alone, if it was the end goal, the end objective, then actions wouldn't be part of it. Just to acquire knowledge would be the end game. That's it. No. What I've tried to say, and I think those brothers and sisters who raised their hand to say that knowledge is the end game, maybe we can have a little chat later. Maybe we need to go through a few things. Or you can speak to those people who raised their hands who said that knowledge is a means for us. So what is the end achievement that we want to do? That this knowledge is a means for us to achieve what? This beneficial knowledge to achieve what? To do what? You can say it in a number of different ways. And the previous lecture, Jazakallahu Khair, mentioned to achieve and understand the essence of a tawheed. How to worship Allah. To love Allah and to love His Messenger. This is when it becomes of benefit to you. That this knowledge becomes some tools for you. That you can then go beyond. And then you can start acting upon this knowledge. So knowledge is a means for you to worship, submit, to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I've said many things. And if all that you can remember in a week's time, because bear in mind, what I say to you now, most of it, Allahu A'lam, Allah knows best. You all have different capacities in your memories. Most of what I have said to you, you'll forget it. But there's no blame on you. This is the nature of a conference. You're here to sit down. And if I use the phrase, you're here to be entertained. You're here, you're sitting here, because you want the speaker, by Allah's permission, to give you an iman boost. I'm not judging everybody, but essentially this is how it works, right? Because this is not a lesson where we have brought our books and we're here to memorize and to explain complicated concepts of Islam. We didn't come here for that. The nature of this particular conference, and it is the way it is. The majority of what I said to you, Allahu A'lam, you'll forget. Maybe in a week's time, in a month's time, even in a year's time. I'm the same. Do you remember that conference? I remember that conference. Do you remember the individual? Yeah, I remember the individual. Do you remember his talk? Do you remember the title of his talk? No. Do you remember one thing from it? The thing I'm going to tell you now, try to remember this. That knowledge will only be beneficial to you if you act upon it. The knowledge is, yes, the key to success. But it will be the key to success if it becomes part of you. Aisha radiallahu anha was asked to describe the manner, the personality of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How did she answer radiallahu anha? Many of us we know. What was his manner? كان خلقه what? القرآن. What you find in the Quran, the individual that the person or the person that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be, that was Nabiullah. That was our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Any command, any prohibition, any recommendation, any dislike that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was an embodiment of that. That knowledge will be a benefit to you only when you act upon it. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from acquiring knowledge and that we never act upon that knowledge. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from being such a people. Ameen. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in knowledge of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That if you don't become an alim, if you don't become a scholar, if you don't become that great, well-known, not for the sake of being well-known, but having the ability to have an impression and affect many people, if you don't become that person, if you don't become that person, that at the very least, at the very bare minimum, that you understand the ayah, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ, that fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Even if you have a small amount of knowledge, but you act upon all of that, maybe it is the case that you are far greater in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than a person who has extensive knowledge and acts upon only a small amount of that. Because as we are sitting here, it is very easy for us to look at each other and maybe judge each other. Just because I am standing here, just because I am on this podium, doesn't make me any greater than any one of you. Because An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam told us, At-taqwa ha-huna, that fearing Allah and piety is in here. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at you, لا ينظر إلى صوركم وأجسادكم, that He subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't look how your features and how you look, ولكن ينظروا ماذا إلى قلوبكم أعمالكم, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at your hearts, the purity of your hearts, the sincerity of your hearts and your actions. إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم, the most honored in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are those who have the most taqwa. Maybe a person who sits in front of thousands of people and addresses them, the responsibility that Allah gave to them and they didn't fulfill it, may be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way that we could never imagine. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from being such people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to remain and increase us upon steadfastness upon this beautiful deen of al-Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect each and every single one of us, because we are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than you can ever imagine. You wouldn't want for the blinking of an eye for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to leave you alone on your own, to your own devices. You are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring about a realization within our own selves to know that. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather us as we have come here to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we have